The Old Testament reading for today comes from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people. They have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
2 verses 1 to 21, the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly from the heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devoted Jews from every people under the heavens living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretan and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Please stand as you are able and comfortable. The gospel reading today comes from John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, and chapter 16, verses 4b to 15, when the Spirit of truth comes. "And the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, and the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. He will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of the world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
I have been living in the United States since 1983, when I was almost 23. So even though it has been over 40 years, I still struggle with my English. Of course, my two grown-up daughters were born here in the United States, and they speak perfect English. But for me, as a first-generation immigrant, English is my second language. I still have Korean accents, and sometimes, maybe many times, I use some awkward expressions and incorrect pronunciation. So, thank you everyone for listening to my sermon with your extra patience and unconditional love always. Yes, I love you all. By God's grace, I'm here to share God's word with you in English. I am truly honored, humbled, and blessed to be here, and I am grateful. So, you can say that I am bilingual, English and Korean. Some of you might also be bilingual too, English and Spanish, or English and other language. Or some of you might be trilingual, or even multilingual. Even though I learned Chinese in high school, German in college, and Hebrew and Greek in seminary, these are all written English languages. I cannot speak them, but I can only speak Korean and English, right? According to my recent search, there are 7,139 officially known languages in the world. Wow. English is just one of many languages. So many languages, right? That's fascinating. These days, computers and smartphones can handle multiple languages with special settings and real-time translators, especially through AI, artificial intelligence technology. Year after year, scientists and linguists keep on developing and advancing international communication systems trying to overcome language barriers. Have you ever wondered why there are so many different languages in the first place? I do not have any professional, academic, or historical knowledge or of anthropology or linguistics. However, at least I know an important story from the Bible. Many of you are familiar with the stories from Genesis, which is the very first book of the Old Testament. I am sure you remember the famous Noah story and also the story of Abraham. Of course, Noah's story comes before the story of Abraham. Then do you remember that there is an interesting story sandwiched between Noah and Abraham? It's the story of the Tower of Babel. Unlike other parts of the book of Genesis, this Tower of Babel story is not about a certain character, but those ancient migrating people who are supposed to represent the whole world as a united human race with only one language. Being arrogant, rebellious, and fame-seeking, they agreed to build a city and a tower with its top in the city, believing heavens are located somewhere in the sky. And they appeared to desire and to possess God-like power and control, hoping that they can reach to the throne of God. However, God, in the story, observing their city and tower, confuse their language so that they can no longer understand each other and scatters them around the world. So, traditionally, it has been known that this story of Tower of Babel is meant to explain why the world's peoples speak so many different languages around the world. This morning, you might wonder, why are we sharing this story of the Tower of Babel today on Pentecost Sunday? Because there is a very important reason. Pentecost event reverses the story of the Tower of Babel. The public theologian and author Brian McLaren wrote in his book, We Make the Road by Walking, a year-long quest for spiritual formation, reorientation, and activation on Pentecost. Quote, what happened at Pentecost reverses the ancient story of the Tower of Babel when ambitious Babylonians grasped at God-like power by unifying everyone under one imperial language and culture. At Babel, God opposed that imperial uniformity and voted for diversity by multiplying languages. Now, in the Pentecost story, we discover a third option, not unity without diversity, and not diversity without unity, but unity and diversity in harmony, unquote. Exactly. Through Pentecost, God has never given us a new and perfect universal language. Instead, God has enabled us to understand each other's languages, united us in one spirit, and empowered us to move forward for God's kingdom. That's right. In Genesis, God scatters the human race all over the world with all different languages. However, in the book of Acts, God unifies God's people, especially the early Christians, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The American Old Testament scholar and theologian Walter Brueggemann once said, quote, Pentecost is God's response to the power failure of the world, unquote. So true. Pentecost truly signifies unity and diversity in harmony only through God's power. Interestingly, the very first Pentecost happened during the Jewish Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of Harvest, occurred 50 days after Passover. That's why so many devout Jews, including the disciples, gathered together to celebrate their Jewish feast. However, God poured out the Holy Spirit upon all those followers of Jesus gathered there so that they were able to be empowered by God's power. The word Pentecost came from the Greek word Pentecoste, meaning 50th. So the term Pentecost now has become a Christian feast that is being celebrated exactly 50 days from which day? Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, yes. And this Pentecost is indeed the birthday of our Christian church. Without Pentecost, the disciples and the followers of Jesus would not have had the courage to go forth and spread the gospel. Without Pentecost, God's Spirit promised to the prophet Joel would not be the active force in our world today. Yes, prophet Joel already spoke these same words in Joel 2:28, but this passage is cited in verse 17 of the book of Acts from the powerful preaching of Spirit-filled Peter. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In the Gospel of John, Jesus clarifies and explains why the coming of the Holy Spirit is a good thing for the disciples and all the present and future followers. Verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Here Jesus uses the term advocate, referring to the Holy Spirit. Advocate can be translated as counselor or helper. But the closest English translation might be paraclete. Yes, paraclete is an English word. In Greek, para means beside or alongside, and kalein means to call or to console. So paraclete means one who consoles you right beside you or always. In this sense, another word for the Holy Spirit would be comforter. Yes, the Holy Spirit always empowers you to be courageous and resilient. So another appropriate title for the Holy Spirit can be empowerer, however you call it. And there are many more names for the Holy Spirit, of course. Moreover, Jesus implies that we just cannot confine how God works in us through the Holy Spirit into our own understanding. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit will always guide us on how you should live your life or how you can make decisions to make differences in your life and in other people's lives. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Yes, we are blessed to have the Holy Spirit in our faith journey. Because the Holy Spirit, we are called to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22-23 lists this fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Apostle Paul urges us to enjoy this spiritual life. In the same Galatians, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. So when you live a Spirit-filled life, you can always bear this fruit that can make you more loving and more joyful in everyday life. I hope when you walk into the sanctuary, even though your face is very serious, and and then when you go out to the world after the service, I hope you smile and rejoicing. Tony Campalo is an American Baptist pastor, professor of sociology, speaker, and author who has written many books. I remember when he was active, he was one of the keynote speakers for the United Methodist Men's National Gatherings in 1990s. Being age 89 now, he is in retirement status. Anyhow, one of my favorite books that he wrote is entitled Let Me Tell You a Story, Life Lessons from Unexpected Places and Unlikely People. And I found a pleasant story how he, as a Spirit-filled Christian, was trying to create joy, not only for himself, but also people around him. It's about getting on elevators one day. Normally in the elevator, what do you do? You know, people turn and face the door and stand there quietly, right? But in his younger days, Tony loved to turn around and face the others and in the elevator with him and say something like, "You are probably wondering why I called this meeting." Once, when he was in the elevator of a New York skyscraper filled with very serious-faced business people, he smiled and said, "Lighten up. We are going to be traveling together for quite a while. What do you say we sing?" Incredibly, they did. He didn't know whether they were intimidated by him or just wanted to have fun, some fun. But businessmen with briefcases in hand and business women in their power suit joined him in singing, "You Are My Sunshine." When Campalo got off at the 70th floor, one man got off and walked down the hall with him, wearing a big smile on his face. Campalo asked him, "Are you going to the same meeting I'm going to?" "Nah," he said, "I just wanted to finish the song." Joy is one of the 9 flavors of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Being a Spirit-filled Christian, you can always create joy around you, even in unexpected places and unconventional circumstances. Why not? Notice the fruit of the Spirit is not 9 different fruits, but one fruit is singular fruit with 9 flavors. All these 9 flavors. Can you see? Can you read that word? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are the delightful result of your Spirit-filled life. So the source of your meaningful and joyful life comes from God's power, the Holy Spirit, through Pentecost. By the way, whenever we say the word Pentecost, some of you might think about certain Pentecostal denominations and their spiritual practices, such as speaking in tongues or some kind of supernatural activities. No, no. I'm not talking about any of out of the body or any of out of this world experiences. No offense to the Pentecostal holiness movement or Pentecostal church denominations. We know that there are so many different beliefs and traditions. We understand that. We respect them. However, being a United Methodist, especially as your pastor, I can say this, the Holy Spirit always guides, helps, comforts, consoles, convicts, empowers, and teaches you as you are being led by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 2:14, Apostle Paul encourages Timothy, guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Here the phrase, the good treasure, refers to the previous verse, the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. But I would say that the good treasure itself is indeed Jesus as the living Christ himself. And the living Holy Spirit helps you to experience the living Christ in your Holy Spirit-filled and Spirit-led life. I trust that you have this good treasure in your heart and in your life. Apostle Paul also proclaims in Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Yes, your faith is practically a choice. It's your choice, your decision, and your commitment. But where do you set your mind on? Paul continues in verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. My sisters and brothers in Christ, my friends in Christ, every year we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, reminding ourselves of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church. But it should not be a mere routine, annual ritual or habit. I should say a holy habit or such kind. Rather, every Pentecost can be an opportunity for us to commit ourselves to remember the gift of God, to renew the church, and to recommit ourselves to Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit. Every Pentecost Sunday, and ultimately every Sunday, should be an invitation Sunday for you to invite someone to church. Even every day can be an opportunity for you to share God's love, God's joy, and God's peace in many ways and occasions. You don't have to be a street preacher, an overseas missionary, or a door-to-door evangelist. You don't need to involve in a grand, fantastic, global project. You can simply share your fruit of the Holy Spirit with someone you care or anyone you encounter by letting him or her to taste the 9 flavors of the Spirit fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This morning, everyone received a little mini Jesus figure from Allison George. Thanks to Allison for the Pentecost special gifts for everyone. This cute little mini Jesus is wearing his red stole, and the color red symbolizes and signifies the fire of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire. In a few minutes during the laity blessing time, our lay leader Chris will recommend to you what to do with the little Jesus figure this week. Anyhow, this little Jesus might be a wonderful reminder for us to be like Jesus in everyday life. Our United Methodist Church's logo also has the red flame of God's Holy Spirit along with the cross. This logo shows who we are and what we are called to share as Spirit-filled Methodists. My fellow disciples of Christ, even though we are not perfect, we can be more faithful. Even though we are not so holy, we can be kinder. Even though we are not that sacrificial, we are called to be more loving body of Christ. Yes, all these are possible because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And each and every one of you is a little Jesus who shares God's love with everyone and everywhere. And in order to do that, most of all, we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we pray, let's all say, come, Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.